Hey, this is Nicholas Brendan. I play Xander on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And you're listening to Potential Cast. Hey, this is Nicholas Brendan.
Hey, Nicholas Brendan.
You're listening to.
You're listening to Potential Cast, Season 5, Episode 13, Blood Ties. After learning that she is the key in human form, a distraught and disbelieving Dawn makes her way to the hospital's mental ward where she encounters Glory. I don't get it.
The prince was born today. My
name is Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
And I'm Malika.
Hey!
Hello!
Malika,
welcome.
From the
Investigating Mars podcast.
Yes.
Yay. Woo. How excited are you for the movie?
Don't even talk to me about the movie.
This
past week was Comic-Con, and I've been hiding under a rock. I've been told I need to be under a rock, and so I have.
Why, too many spoilers are out there?
Yeah, too many spoilers. And
I wonder what that's like.
Yeah, I have, it's strange to me because most of these intro casts, I've already seen the series, and so now I'm on one where I'm not allowed to look at anything.
Ha ha!
How you like it now?
Yeah, I know. I can feel your pain. Usually I just laugh at it. But
yeah.
Oh. Yeah, for me, it was a very tough weekend. It was emotional for me.
Mm.
Not being there?
Not being there.
Really?
Left out.
Mm. Yes.
I was okay with not being there. I mean, it would have been cool to hang out with people, and it would also have been cool to meet Stephen fucking Moffat, Nick, who doesn't listen to the show, but fuck you, Nick! You got to meet Stephen Moffat.
Wow. Did he get autographs or what?
No, he was at Nerd HQ. Stephen Moffat was there.
Wow. Yeah, that Nerd HQ, it's amazing. Those celebrities are, so many celebrities are, they gave of their time to raise money for Operation Smile. That was great.
Fantastic. Yeah. Janet got her picture taken with Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Jeez. Listen, that kind of stuff is great, but, it's also cool not having to spend $850 on flights.
For me, it's just the crowds.
Another $600 on hotels and,
Yeah.
I'll go one year.
Yeah.
Oh, the first year it was fantastic because I'd never been to anything of the sort, and I was just in awe. And the second year, it just started out bad, and it just didn't get any better.
Mm.
It was just, but now it's been 2 years since I've been, and I've forgotten all the bad parts and only remember the good parts.
It's like childbirth.
Yeah.
They say. Yeah, I felt like that way about South by Southwest. I went the first year and had the best time of my life. And then I went the second year. I was like, it's not as shiny. Wow. So, but yeah, I think it's, with these things, they are able to attract greater and greater talent, and there's like more excitement going on and everything, but then it does lose a little bit of its charm, and then you have to deal with the crowds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think South by Southwest, from what I understand from people that I know that still live there, it's gotten way too big for its britches.
Mm-hmm.
Just just like anything else.
Like everything.
Yeah. Well, the thing about Comic-Con, when you go, I was so busy getting ready to go to Comic-Con, going to Comic-Con and everything, that you're not able to enjoy the movies that are being released at the time.
Mm.
And right now I'm able to go to the movies because I have nothing pressing you know, to do in my schedule. So I've seen Pacific Rim. I've seen Much Ado About Nothing. So I've seen these movies that they're marketing.
Yeah, so we don't need to go to Comic-Con. We're enjoying our movies.
We're just watching stuff.
I saved $1,100 and saw Pacific Rim at my local IMAX theater.
Where's the
loser
one?
Now?
Yeah. Suck on that.
They don't know what they're missing.
Tell yeah. You. You haven't lived till you've been to the IMAX theater at the Rio, bitches.
I have lived.
That's right. Illyrio knows.
Yeah, with a lake outside. Thank you.
Yeah. And you can, and then get a drink at Guapo's that unfortunately we didn't have time to do.
Well, next year.
Got to get to the airport.
Yes, the damn airport.
El aeropuerto. Happy birthday, Buffy.
Oh, yeah.
My dog just looked up.
Is your dog's name Buffy?
My dog's name is Buffy.
Oh, happy Lovely. Birthday, Buffy. Happy unbirthday, Buffy.
Yeah, she's happy now.
And who is she named after? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, it's basically, I know if you're my friend, if after I tell you the name of my dog, you realize where it comes from. And you say, these are the correct words. After the Vampire Slayer? we can be friends now.
We're gonna end up next week trying to come up with a name.
That's the most fun thing ever.
Do you tell your dog, hey, time to go out for a walk, bitch?
She tells me, actually.
Okay.
I'm her bitch. Sad.
It shouldn't be that way.
I'm Artie's bitch.
I think we both saw a picture that maintains that I'm Artie's bitch.
Wow.
Hey, it's on Instagram. Go see.
I have to go see.
Buffy's about to turn 20.
Yeah, and this is not a Buffy-centric episode. And neither was last year, because it was more of a Giles-centric episode. So that's all right.
Yeah, she always has really crappy birthdays, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she does, ever since they kind of made it... like Buffy to have a birthday after season one. And so far she's not having the best birthdays, huh?
Nope.
So far, she not said.
So far. Yeah. It's the 12th or 13th episode of each season. Hmm. So we'll see if it keeps up. I don't know.
Well, considering she wasn't supposed to live past 18, right?
I know, it's big news for her.
So she should celebrate every birthday, but oh well.
Stuff keeps happening.
Sure does.
Imagine that.
All right. So we find out that Glory, the Scoobies know now that Glory sucks people's brains and it rejuvenates her brain, her mind.
Yes.
When she starts to kind of lose it.
What a weirdo.
And the Scoobies find out that Buffy and Giles were keeping the knowledge of the fact that Dawn was the key from them.
Nah, I love this part.
Yes.
After years of watching Lost and having some people know things and other people not know it, it's really annoying.
Mm-hmm. I understand, yes.
I was very pleased that
Yeah, but they didn't even make a big, long, drawn-out thing about it. They kind of cut to a different scene, came back, everybody knew.
But... You know, but I was like, you know what? Willow's right. You know, she should have said something. She's always doing that. I'm going to try to keep my friends in the dark to protect them, but that puts them in more danger.
Yep.
She needs to be more open with her friends that she lets, you know, patrol with her, you know?
Buffy's danger making secrets.
Mm-hmm. Selfish.
And really poor judgment.
Yes.
Years and years and years of Buffy displaying very poor judgment. She doesn't realize that she needs her friends. And then it's like she's one of the people in Casper. She forgets from episode to episode that Casper's friendly. But Buffy, from season to season, has to be reminded how much she needs her friends.
Well, it's also, she's a Slayer, and so Slayers are traditionally not supposed to have friends. So I guess you could say that perhaps this is, you know, not in her DNA to be reminded that, you know, she's a loner by nature.
Not really, because she grew up with friends, and she was sort of like, she plays by the beat of her own drum as a Slayer, so I don't know.
Yeah, but she'll do that you know, my friends are great. And then I don't need my friends. And then it's like, oh, but I miss my friends. And I do need that. It's like, oh, come on.
Sandra's my heart.
I just think it's I don't know. I think she's doing it with the best intentions, but I'm glad everyone knows now the end.
And so now, Tara and Willow and Xander and Anya, they are awkward around home because.
Ugh. That was weird. I really wish they had a little bit more of a poker face.
Uh-huh. Oh, there is one thing that, I mean, we do find out in that first scene that, I think it's that first scene with that Dawn arrived 6 months ago.
Yes.
So it's, if you look at the timeline, it's probable that when we first saw Dawn, that was her first arrival. Like we actually saw, the first time that she arrived, from the monks themselves. So,
yeah.
So that was kind of neat to know because I always thought about it before and wondered.
I kind of assumed that was the case.
And so I was going by
that as well.
I just thought that the first time we saw her, Mom, like that was the first time like she came. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it was confirmed.
So was 6 months ago, was that the real me? Was that...
That was Buffy versus Dracula. So the first time we saw her was when she first...
At the very end of that episode.
Okay.
Yes.
Was that the premiere?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, let's see.
So Willow and Tara have watched Supernatural.
Yes, they have. They got a time machine, went to the future, watched Supernatural.
Does that show appeal to lesbians though?
I think it appeals to all women, no matter.
Really?
It
really
does.
it appeals
to everyone. It knows no boundaries.
Exactly.
Sam is very pretty.
And yes.
Yeah, you can imagine. Like, he hitting this with his hair now. It's, you know. I know some lesbians that look a lot more like masculine. He does.
But not with the stupid mutton chops.
Oh, I like those.
Stupid long sight. Oh, whatever. Oh, Dean. This is not a Supernatural podcast.
Hilarious, like,
it should be.
What are you guys talking about?
What am I? What? Yeah, I've watched 4 episodes.
It's a very underrated show.
I'm too busy having the month off, okay? Cut me some slack. Glory got her hands on a Knight of Byzantium.
Yeah.
Was that
the
only one that was surprised that that those knights didn't just destroy the minions?
No.
Yeah, I'm surprised that the minions were as tough as they are.
Yeah, see, I did not think they were going to be tough in the slightest.
And so
they were going to be just losers.
Are you guys feeling the dread that Glory is going to mind suck somebody?
What do you mean by that?
You mean one of the characters?
Like
one of the main characters, like Xander or Willow.
Like, you know, fast forward to the end of this episode where Glory is with Dawn in the hospital, and Dawn is.
Wait a second! Are you skipping ahead, Claire?
Yes, I am, Claire. And skipping ahead, Dawn is terrified of Glory, and at the same time, she's trying not to let Glory know that she's scared of her.
So I think she's trying not to let Glory know she's the key.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
I don't think Dawn knows that Glory wants the key. Was that confirmed?
Yeah, she has said it 15 times.
All right.
She kept on asking kind of like, oh, so what's so special about this, blah, 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 because she wanted to know what's so special about her. Good. Or, you know, what did it look like?
Of course, sorry.
It's
just, you know, Dawn's lips were moving, sound was coming out.
Yeah, I have the same problem.
But are y'all not getting the feeling that Glory is going to mind suck somebody very important?
No.
No.
Really?
I feel the dread that it's like inevitable. Okay.
I think we had it with Dawn. Okay. I was worried she was going to mind suck Dawn for a little bit, but then I think, it passed.
Well, what would happen if she mind sucked Dawn, given that Dawn's the key?
Well, who knows? Ooh.
We hear all those noises from slot machines. Ding, 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 ding. Those kinds of noises.
Oh, speaking of Glory, though, I had the chance to listen to this new podcast. It's called the Out of the Blue podcast. And they interviewed the actress who's Glory. Mm. And she said it was her decision. Like, it was a very easy audition because it was her decision to play her really crazy because it wasn't written that way. And she was basically in the parking lot on her way out of the audition when she got the call to, you know, come back in. And yeah, and had a scene with Ben and then basically got caught on. So yeah, so All the Crazies Up is basically how she played it.
Nice.
What? I think you spoiled us on something.
Anyways. No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
The thing about Glory is, in some ways, she knows a lot, but then again, she's kind of oblivious.
Well, and also, we have an Ace Ventura moment in this episode where Finkel is Einhorn and Einhorn is Finkel. Like, what the fuck?
I don't know what that means.
What? Don't make me talk to you out of my ass.
Okay, that sounds familiar.
Okay. Laces out, Dan.
So, I have been spoiled because of someone's Twitter username, and now I'm past that point of being spoiled.
What?
Because it appears as though Ben and Glory are the same.
What? Yes.
Who's Twitter name?
Yeah, what was the Twitter name?
I believe the Twitter name was Ben is Glory. So Glory is Ben.
Oh. Sucks.
Yeah. Well, that's you know, what are you going to do?
But it's very interesting because he's very familiar with her.
Yes.
He's used to dealing
with... She's familiar with him. But,
and
you know...
Are they like brother and sister?
I don't know.
Is he what people see? It's just very confusing.
Yes.
Okay, so now, this is what I need to know. No, this is what I think we're going to find out. Which is, are they separate individuals who have a connection so that Glory can basically... Okay, is this like in The Matrix, right?
Uh-huh.
Where Agent Smith... Mm-hmm. has feelers basically all over everyone in the Matrix. Whenever an ordinary citizen in the Matrix saw Neo, Agent Smith would appear through that person. Right?
Right.
Everybody remember that?
I follow.
Awesome.
I don't remember.
You don't remember that? Well, Joss Whedon remembered it. because that's exactly what it looked like. basically, somebody saw Neo, and then all of a sudden that somebody turned into Agent Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so Agent Smith would basically appear in anyone's body that he wanted to, or through anyone's body. Okay. So, is it a situation like that where Ben is an actual separate individual, but they have a connection and Glory can appear through him anytime? Or is this an either-or situation where that entity can either be Ben or Glory? Because we've never seen them both together.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, but now I strangely want to see...
The Matrix.
Like Ben morph into Glory, like Blory or something like that. I don't know. I want to see that.
So here's the thing, though.
But didn't we see that?
Sent the minion. Yeah, we did see that. We saw Glory
morph into Ben. Okay, I see what you're saying.
So are they the same? Are they one entity? And it's either Ben or Glory, only one at a time.
Or is she like I see?
Or is she somehow connected to Ben and can travel through the ether to because remember early on, I think it was the
do they
space,
know that
space
they're...
bug vomit episode where the minion came to Ben afterwards and spoke to him. So why would Glory need to send a message to Ben if she is Ben? Unless those two entities are kind of yin and yang to each other.
Maybe they don't know about each other.
Maybe the only, I'm pretty sure they know about each other because it referred to the other.
Yeah, they know of each other.
So
yeah,
I'm
but do they know that they are each other?
I don't know because all he said is she's coming.
Yeah. She's coming. Right? He freaked out and then all of a sudden he was gone. She was there.
Yeah. Now here's the situation. And then she took off clothing and put on a dress. Remember?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So here's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Whatever dimension they're from, they can kind of coexist. But in this dimension, they have to be either one person or the other. And they don't actually have cerebral communion or communication between each other because it's an on-off situation. It's entirely digital. So that's why if Glory needs something to be told to Ben, she has to turn into Ben and then someone tells Ben for her. It's weird. I think they're two separate consciousnesses, but mm-hmm. they have to share one body for some reason because they're attached. Yin and yang. That's what I'm thinking. So the solution will be to kill Ben. Glory will disappear. End of season. That's my prediction. After Glory has killed Joyce.
It almost, so there we go. When the body change morphing happened and it seemed obvious that they don't know, like, you know, what the other one is up to. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of from watching United States of Terror all that time.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Yeah, when you have split personalities and then mm-hmm. you're one and not, like, I don't know what the other one's been doing. It's like you're a completely different person like that, but changing physically.
Am I speaking to Ben now?
Exactly.
Am I speaking to Glory now?
Well, in this case, it'd be very easy. Because
Ben looked different. As well, but that's what it reminded me of.
So, Larry, are you saying that if they kill Ben, like Ben is actually killable and he's more vulnerable than Glory then?
Well, I would assume that based on my years of
I think
science fiction and things. I think it's probably going to be one of these. As soon as they figure out that they're connected, they're going to go after Ben.
I think they're equally as powerful as each other.
I don't think so. Ben was scared shitless of Glory.
But then wouldn't that make, if they're connected like that, then wouldn't that make Ben a god?
Exactly. Mm. Ben is a god as well.
No, yin and yang, right? She's the super powerful one. He's the weak, vulnerable one. There has to be some way of destroying her, and that'll be it. They'll figure it out.
I don't agree.
Mm. Yeah, I read the...
Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, okay. I can't be Dragon Glass, everyone. Sorry.
Spoiler.
The books came out a long time ago.
This is true. And I've read them all. I think the way that I read it was that he was scared for Dawn, that she was coming.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not scared of Glory.
Mm-hmm. So maybe Ben knows Dawn's the key.
Well, he realizes that.
Yeah.
Who, Ben did?
Yeah. And yeah. didn't he? Yeah. And then he got freaked out because
she
was coming.
Because
he's freaked out and wanted, because he's the good guy. Yeah.
So Ben's Glory sense started tingling.
Yes.
She perceived
like
this and morphed through him because, hey, what's up? Why am I here? It must be something important. Oh, you're here. So there's no direct contact between what they know and what they experience, but she can travel through him. I wonder.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think she's around if he's around. That's my guess anyway.
They're like...
Hopefully we'll find out soon.
They're like Pokeroo. They're never...
Damn right!
Each other.
Glory's Pokeroo. And Ben is the host that... Oh, I missed her again!
Okay, so now that we've skipped ahead, let's go back.
Oh, back.
Where were we?
Outside
parts.
The magic shop, I think.
Willow has cute hair.
Willow does
she
have cute
does.
Hair.
She does, and she has a choker, which is, sorry, from our from Investigating Mars podcast, we have a choker watch, and so I was very excited. I was very excited to see Willow had a choker, but she's more year appropriate for this. But I was wondering, you know, they have all this magics going on outside the magic shop. Uh-huh. I mean, there's people wandering with a K. There's people wandering by, I'm sure, and just randomly things are disappearing. No. Mm-hmm. It struck me as odd.
Yeah, well, you know, people just believe what they want to believe and see the things that they want to see. And
especially in Sunnydale.
Yeah.
And like nobody's meandering by, like breaking up their little symbol or anything on the ground. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
That also would be bad in Supernatural.
Or so, East Austin.
Yes.
So Dawn is realizing that everybody's talking about her behind her back, and she gets mad.
Oh, Dawn.
As much as I hate Dawn and whatnot, I thought this was a really good Dawn episode. Mm-hmm. I think I even said it in the commentary that I did. It's like, I've never been a Joyce fan, but mm-hmm. I was like, this is Joyce's, my favorite Joyce episode. Because, not necessarily because she did anything in, you know, fantastic or whatnot, but the way that Dawn was treating her and, like, just so ungrateful. I'm like, that's so hurtful, I think, for a mother to, like, they can't, you know, console their daughter. And just the way that Joyce was, you know, had to deal with that, I was just like, oh, Mom, to my evil mother, I'm like, Mom, I'm sorry, you know?
Oh,
like,
oh hello, let me tell you, even with a 14-year-old.
Yes, exactly. So I was just like, I thought that the way Joyce played this episode was really good. So I was like, oh, what a good Joyce episode, too.
Mm. Yeah, I felt like it was like, the whole way they treated this, well, a lot of it, not all of it, was as if Dawn was adopted. So it was sort of those kind of realization type things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. That's what it, like, some of the conversations sounded like to me. Mm-hmm. When I was first watching it.
That's a good point.
Yeah. 14 is a terrible age. It's a very hard age because they are just figuring out, you know, it's just an awakening at 14, you know, turning into a teenager and learning who you are. And she's trying to figure out who she is, and she's realizing that she is not a person.
Yeah.
She's not human.
Let's get to that, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Because there's some very important spikeage in this episode.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yes,
yes, there is.
So there's a birthday party. Anya does her... What does Anya do, Kim?
Her idiot stupidness. What?
Oh, ooh.
Do we not like Anya?
Anya wanted to do... Anya wished all the presents were for her.
Yeah, I know.
She never
Anya
had
just
any,
drives me nuts the way they
she had a lot of birthdays, but I guess never birthday not. Parties. But if she wasn't always a demon, then didn't she have birthday parties before? Was it so long ago she doesn't remember? Either way, Dawn is sick and tired of being treated like a kid, so she goes outside, and who's there? Spike!
I love it!
Oh my gosh, Spike.
And he has a present for Buffy.
Which...
So cute!
So cute. And so, this box of chocolates, Dawn says
it's... squished!
Yes, because he beat up on it in the previous episode, I think. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And he's out there waiting for her with puppy dog eyes. It is so cute. And horrible how everybody around Buffy is realizing how Spike feels about her. Riley knew. Dawn is figuring it out. Mm-hmm. And then skipping ahead.
What?
Skipping ahead. Glory says something about, you know, that Spike is her boyfriend. And she's like, no, he's not my boyfriend. But it's so funny. Everybody realizes it. Mm-hmm. Except her.
Yeah. That's what usually happens. Yeah. But what's funny is we all know my Palmolive hate. But mm-hmm. I'm starting to go, like, I remember how I used to think Spike and Giles were the best comedy duo on television. Now I'm thinking Spike and Dawn because they're pretty cute together. And
they're this generation's won't take have.
And is Spike, does he feel protective over Dawn because of Buffy?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So do you think that if she wasn't Buffy's little sister, he wouldn't care?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
He's not a nice person.
He's not. Everybody keeps saying that. I don't know.
He's not.
We've seen him back in the day when he was bumbling doofus that can't write poetry. There's just something, I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm insane. But to me, there's something lovable about him.
Oh, there's something definitely lovable about him.
I agree, but I don't think
he would care. He's hot. What I'm saying is, but to me, there's just something kind of, I don't know, like playful. I don't know. There's something. He's not totally evil.
No, but he's not a nice person.
Well, but he's
not like he's an altruistic being.
He's selfish. I mean, he does everything for money.
Yeah.
Well, see, I think that's where I'm coming from. Like, do you think he's selfish because he wants Buffy and so he's being manipulative? I don't think that he would, like, kill Dawn.
I just think he knows he's not stupid, so he knows that if he's nice to Dawn, that he'll get some Buffy points.
I don't know, but I get the vibe that there's some kind of genuine affinity for Palmolive. He likes her, and so I don't know, maybe his little sister. I don't know. Maybe. I don't think it's not forced. And then, I don't know. That's not what I'm reading.
All I'm saying is, if Dawn wasn't Buffy's quote unquote sister, I don't think he would have been as nice.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah. Speaking as a male of the human species.
Oh.
Well, I'm just saying.
Spoiler alert.
I know. Thank you.
I'm pretty sure
there's a whole bunch of other people's little sisters he wouldn't give two shits about. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Little Spike is motivating a lot of this altruistic behavior.
All I know is, for somebody who's supposed to be dead and not have breath, there was a lot of you could tell it was cold outside going on when he was talking.
Yeah.
I just want to know what Spike thought was going to come of this if Buffy came out. Or, like, if he didn't run into Dawn, how did he see that going? That's what I want to know. Like, in Spike's head, how he thought he would think that was going to go down.
You know, maybe in Spike's head, there's a lot of 500 Days of Summer going on. like, reality versus expectations. And he's thinking wonderful stuff's going to happen. But really, he's just going to get punched and shooed away.
Well, he has a split screen in his head.
He really does!
I think it comes with a chip.
That's awesome.
So Dawn and Spike make it back to the magic shop. And there's the journal or book or diary that Giles put away in a not-so-secret drawer.
That's so dumb.
And then, lo and behold, Dawn, with the help of Spike, realizes that she is this thing they referred to as the key.
And if she didn't realize it with her flashbacks, then Spike was going to read it out. I thought it was redundant. He saw these flashbacks and we're like, okay, we get it. And then all of a sudden he's like, and I guess the key would be you.
Just in case someone else didn't get it.
And now, one of my least favorite parts in the history of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We're back at the party and they're talking about Riley.
And the fact
that he didn't send a card.
Oh, please.
Why? Why bring his name into this? I didn't understand. It made me very upset.
And then, it's the only thing that feels real.
Oh, Lord.
Dawn is cutting herself.
Yeah, that was bad.
And confused. And I was like, oh my God, this is so emo and crazy.
That was a bit dramatic.
Oh my gosh.
So nobody felt bad for her at the
time? I did.
I could not care less. It's not a real person. It's this thing. It's this thing.
Yeah, I don't.
It's this thing that is there because it needs protection. And how are you going to get protection? Oh, let's manipulate the Slayer into protecting it.
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit is what I say.
Yeah, I just remember.
And it's Joyce's fault for keeping the knives within reach of a 14-year-old.
Always
Mother
Joyce.
Year.
Yeah, I don't know. Part of me, the 14-year-old girl that lives inside of me, you know, felt bad. Like, oh, it really sucks when you feel like you don't belong. And then I'm like, wait a minute, she doesn't exist. I don't care. Let's end the storyline already, please. Thank you.
Am I real? This is real.
No. I thought that was a good scene.
It was a very good scene, but
it was
come on.
Dramatic, really, like over the top. But I thought
it's going to be, it's going to be that she does.
Yeah.
She's going to cut herself instead of go and say, what's going on that I read this here? What is happening?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, she's going to, wait a second. If I'm not real, maybe if I use this knife on my skin, I won't bleed. Really? Come on, man. Yeah. That was just there for shock value.
I think that was.
It was.
It was better than the scene where she like goes to her like pastel room. And like when I was her age, I had like black curtains, and you know, I did not have pastel. And then starts burning stuff.
Yeah, I think that pastel room is showing that when you're 14, you're stuck in this spot where you're kind of still a child, mm-hmm. but you really want to be taken seriously as a teenager, because, like, I know with the 14-year-olds that I'm familiar with, you think that they're very mature because they are very, very intelligent, mm-hmm. but emotionally and socially, yeah. everything, they're just still babies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, you hear your parents talk about back in the day that when the kids were really, really smart, they would like double promote them.
What does that mean?
Like, they'd skip two grades.
Oh, okay. Really?
Oh my God, that's insane.
Yeah, poor because kids.
They're not ready. That's like sending a 12-year-old into college. That's weird. You don't do that. They're not ready.
It is.
Sorry.
Yeah, because, I mean, and I know that when I say that, that sounds very, of course, and so that sounds very, what am I trying to say? Of course.
Obvious.
Obvious, that's the word. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Vegan Steph is going to be a lot of fun.
I want to hear vegan drunk Steph.
Oh my gosh.
So Dawn overreacts. Everybody's kind of like, oh my God, it's time for a commercial. And then Dawn sneaks out of the house.
Okay.
Because these people have never heard of Suicide Watch.
But what I like is, I like the diary. It's a nice callback to the real me, where she's writing in her diary. Mm-hmm. And I like that while Dawn and Spike were at the magic box, Spike was using an urn or something in the magic box as a ashtray. Yep. And so that was a nice callback to when he was, smoking outside of Buffy's
mm-hmm.
house.
Mm-hmm.
I like these little things that just remind you of what's happened previous in the season.
Yeah.
Little callbacks.
I have to say that when the fire alarm went off, when she ran away and she was burning stuff, they have a really squeaky fire alarm.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was like the protection spell at first, uh-huh. but I was like, it's a fire alarm that, I mean, I've never heard a fire alarm like that. It really just stood out. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I think it was to kind of fool you into thinking that it wasn't, maybe it wasn't a fire alarm. Maybe it was that Glory came in and took Dawn because somehow she found out about the key that we didn't know about. Can we talk about the temper tantrum?
Oh my gosh. Get out!
Get out! Get out!
If we have to.
I'm not interested in talking about this. You guys go ahead.
Is that a very famous Buffy scene? Like, that's what people mm-hmm. think about Dawn. They think of, get out!
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
And there's a lot of animated GIFs of just that. Her face is all kinds of awesome in slow-mo.
God.
And also, oh my gosh, at the down hate in the fandom.
Really? Yeah?
Do you get it or not get it?
Oh, I mean, yeah. Is it because they don't like her just because how she was introduced and all that, or because she's super annoying, or a combination of everything? Or we haven't seen her most annoying part yet?
I think you're seeing it. I think it's because, you know, they did write her young, younger than she's supposed to be. Uh-huh. And so, I don't know. I mean, I didn't watch this live. I did watch it after the fact. I marathoned it on Netflix. So I don't know what was, you know, happening, but at the time of, but I know that a lot of people didn't necessarily like the storyline. And, but then also just the fact that she is a super annoying little sister kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's most of it.
I mean, what I like the fact that the writers don't care that you, she's not supposed to be likable. Uh-huh. She's supposed to be realistic. She's supposed to be, let me tell you about 14-year-olds. Okay. A 14-year-old can say in the middle of summertime, I'm bored. I'm ready for school to start. And 2 hours later, be asked if she's ready for school to start and say, oh my God, no, are you crazy? Of course I don't want to go back to school. And you think, what is the truth here? How do you really feel? I do not understand. I don't understand. 14-year-olds are bizarre.
Strange creatures.
They don't even understand themselves. I think that it's actually nice that they put her around this age because, you know, the whole fact that she doesn't know who she is now that she knows she's a key, but also as a 14-year-old, I mean, who really knows who they are? So I think it's like two ways there.
Did Glory put like a mind block on her because she didn't remember that Ben morphed into her?
Okay, so I wanted to ask you, so that's how you read it? Okay.
Yeah. That's or she's playing like, oh, I'm going to pretend because I want to hold this against Buffy because I want to know something that she doesn't know. Or, you know, that I don't know, but that my first inkling was like, why didn't she tell her that Ben turned into Dawn? I mean, into Glory. And then she said, I don't know. I don't know if Glory did something to her or she just doesn't remember.
Well, she doesn't remember. She's pretty stupid.
So yeah. I will say that,
or
like,
traumatized.
When I first watched this, so watching with you guys on the rewatch is really interesting because I have more empathy for Dawn. But the first time I watched this, I absolutely hated her.
Get out.
So
get out. Get out.
Nicely done.
I'm just going to go after just pretend like this is the first time I watched it. So the way I read it was because she was super annoying, I just thought she was keeping it from Buffy and lying for no reason.
Yeah.
So I was really curious to see how you guys would interpret that.
I don't know. Yeah. I think she may have just been traumatized and forgot about it temporarily. Hopefully she'll remember by the next episode and say something.
Or so, yeah, something will trigger something.
Okay, next, what is more ridiculous? The coat that Buffy is wearing while she's out looking for Dawn. What the hell? Or that Giles and Xander are looking under pallets and in garbage trash bins in an alley for Dawn.
I think they're both equally stupid.
Yes.
That was dumb.
I couldn't get over the coat. I was really just Southern California people.
I think everyone had a long coat like that. I don't know if it had like the faux fur, but
the faux fur is what got to me. My coats were fine. Faux fur, no. Never liked that.
Yeah,
especially in Southern California.
It was around this time when The Matrix came out, when everyone had like those like long fitted trench coats. Do you remember like the girls had like the ones that there was only like two buttons at the top and then it would flare out? Am I the only one here?
No, you're right. I feel you.
I had one of those and I thought it was super cool.
So how stupid is Glory?
I don't think she's stupid at all.
Tell me more about this key thing that you're talking about. I'm really interested, said the random girl.
I think she's too self-obsessed with herself. I don't think she's stupid at all.
She's crazy.
Yeah, I think she's just so self-absorbed. And then if she takes a minute to just stop and think, then she might figure it out.
Mm, okay. So, most awesome fight ever?
Buffy and Glory?
No, Buffy and Giles and Xander Glory and Spike and Taryn Willow against Glory.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
The first time I saw this, I'm like, how can these people, why is this fight so equal? If she's a god, but she's starting to lose it. She needs to mind suck somebody.
Right. Uh-huh.
And so that's why the fight is as equal as it is.
I love that phrase, mind suck.
That's the only way I can explain it.
No, it's good. It just sounds funny.
Okay.
I think Gabby just got it.
Yeah, Gabby just got it.
Gabby just got it.
I'm sorry, it's been a rough week.
Yeah, I took that as well. I took that she would probably have, you know, been stronger and been able to fight more, but it had been a while and she's kind of, you know, getting to that edge.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, everybody's powerless against glitter, so no bigs.
Yeah.
Ooh, speaking of which, with the glitter, so that spell was so powerful and big deal that it gave Willow a bloody nose.
Yeah.
So I know. That cannot bode well.
Okay. After what is within Pacific Rim.
Yes.
I know. Okay.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
I'm kidding. Spoil away.
So the lay people would understand, brain damage and nosebleeds. I mean, in real life, a nosebleed does not denote brain damage, okay?
Right. What? I thought a nosebleed was a little bit of your brain leaking out.
Only on television and in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid entertainment industry. And
also, whoever's x-ray that is behind Dawn in the hospital, they have got to be in severe pain.
I was like, what is this x-ray behind Dawn? Is it even, oh my gosh, what was that?
They need some Gessex.
Quite distended, are they?
Yeah, they're probably in some pain.
I wonder if there's a story behind that. I haven't heard of anything, but I'd like to know. I've noticed that this whole motif of having, when people get witchy and start using their witchy powers, and they're witching really hard, their nosebleeds. Like, it's such a trope, and it's just funny because I'm sure a lot of them got it from Buffy. You know, so yeah, I've seen a lot of people use that, but now it's just overused.
Does that happen? Did it happen to Bonnie on The Vampire Diaries?
Yes, all the time.
Ugh.
Yeah,
Bonnie's the worst.
She's the worst.
It happened on Lost.
It's happened in Supernatural. Mm-hmm.
I guess it's just to show that they're using so much of their power.
Mm-hmm. Or they're concentrating so hard.
It just takes so much out of them.
Yeah. Sam Winchester, I'm looking at you.
Oh, Sam.
I love the Winchesters. Poor Sam nothing.
I love them both.
Attic.
So, I know we talked about this before, but I'm really disappointed, or maybe we just talked about it when we were drunk, Gabby. But remember when it was supposed to be like Tara was going to be like some major witch figure that was going to like guide Willow through? And it's really kind of disappointing that Tara's just tagging along.
Yeah.
Tara does nothing.
Tara's not really any more of a witch than Willow is.
I don't think she's a percentage of a witch that Willow is.
I think she's going to surprise us all.
You think so?
Yeah. There has to be a reason why she's here. She can't just be decoration.
I think it's because Willow is a breast woman.
I don't know. I always feel like Tara is more like old money and Willow is more new money.
Where... So Nouveau Witch?
I wish I thought of that.
Oh my.
Yeah, she's Nouveau Riche or Nouveau Witch. Because I think that Tara just handles it in stride, you know, the whole magic thing. Because she's been around it her whole life. And
no, she was misinformed and lied to her whole life.
Remember?
Told that she was a demon.
Yeah, but she's been around magic her whole life.
Mm-hmm. You mean been around lesbians her whole life? Mm-hmm.
This is a euphemism. But it's so new to Willow that I feel like, I don't know, I just don't think she takes it as much
as try to do. Tara's letting Willow do stuff that if she is more experienced, she should be nicer to Willow and tell her not to do. So that's why I think it's like Tara's a poser. That's what I think.
I think that Tara is so, she is so off my radar that I don't even care. Like, even when she's there at a scene, all trying to be cute or stuttery or whatever, mm-hmm. I just tune out the fact that she exists. She's so tertiary to me that I couldn't give a shit. I want her gone just so that I don't have to block her out. I don't have to expel that energy to do that.
But her hair's gotten better. And her wardrobe.
I'm just done. I'm hoping that somehow, in some way, maybe big fight at the end of the season when this big bad thing is taken care of, that she will be taken care of and obliterated as well. Just get rid of them all. I mean, I like Glory and I would like to see her stick around for a while. But again, big bad, there's no possible way that could possibly happen. Tara and Pummel just need to go. Just go and make my show enjoyable again.
So if at the end of the season you could keep Tara or Glory, you would keep Glory?
Abso-friggin-lutely.
Same here.
Cool.
I get rid of both of them.
Not at the end of the season yet.
Oh, we're not. Nope. We're never gonna meet.
If we weren't so off track, we would be. It's true.
Yeah, but, it's been a while. Yeah, I'm done. I'm done with them all.
Oh.
Not that I would ever like tear anyway, but seriously, just be gone. Be gone. Get out.
Get out. Get out. Get out. Willow says, Expelliarmus! Right? That's what she said, right?
Sure.
And then Glory vanishes, and then we see her fall?
Yeah. They didn't know where they sent her to.
To the stratosphere.
Los Angeles.
It looked like LA to me.
Was it LA?
Oh, crossover!
Like Santa Monica to me.
End of
Santa
episode.
Barbara,
Santa Monica.
Where
gonna
is
knock
it?
On my door.
The next episode.
Nice. That'd be awesome. Janet. So then comes the most disgusting thing I have seen in a very long time. What? I find this to be disgusting. I think if anyone out there does this, you're gross and you are putting yourself at risk and you shouldn't donate blood. But mixing blood.
Oh, the blood sister thing? Yeah, gross.
Is not okay. It is not okay to do this.
They have to show that they're sisters.
Oh, right.
Your blood is my blood.
Ugh.
Your fake blood is like my real blood, you see? Oh my god, that was so horrid. Yeah. Let us not think of it again.
Yeah, it wasn't a strong ending to the episode.
No, I thought it was a really good episode.
The joke was kind of a dud. Yeah. It could have been better.
Much. It's really too bad. But yeah, so Dawn is okay, and it seems like she's gotten over the whole not being real thing.
For now.
For now.
It was a very special episode.
It was a very special episode. I agree. Well, yeah. I don't have any more notes other than that was interesting.
Oh boy,
that was interesting. I think we have some feedback. Are we ready for some feedback?
Oh wow, feedback!
I'm gonna play a bit of audio feedback here if we're all ready. Cool. Here's a voicemail from Ina.
Ina,
hello, Potential Cast.
Hey, Ina.
Ina from Norway. I'm sending in a voicemail about Blood Ties, not because this is a especially stellar episode of Buffy, although I do like it, but I realized I hadn't left a voicemail for you before, so here I go. And also, I don't know when you'll be recording, so I'll just send this in advance.
Sorry, Ina.
Okay, Blood Ties. It's Buffy's birthday episode. Buffy's birthdays are known for being slightly catastrophic. Angel going bad, Council testing her, Giles turning into a demon. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun times. Dawn figures out that she's the key. And I really liked her and Spike together. I think I would watch a spin-off show with Dawn and Spike the team. That was really fun to see, and I thought Michelle Trachtenberg did a good job.
Not so much too.
With the scene where she told them to get out. That was a bit too much, but the scene where she cuts herself and she comes into the living room and wonders what she is. I thought she did a good job there.
Uh-huh.
And also we find out Ben and Glory shares the same body. Or Ben turns into Glory. But Glory doesn't have Ben's memories.
Uh-huh. So
she doesn't know that Dawn is the key yet. And there was a fight at the end there with the teleportation spell that seemed to take a lot out of Willow. I rather like this one. It's not the best of the season, but it's definitely not the worst. There's a lot of revelations and some teen angst and drama, which, yeah... I can tolerate that. That was some thoughts on this episode, and I love the podcast. Keep it coming. You are the best. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ina.
We have an email here from Ray. Hello, Potential Cast. I have to say that as a character, I find Dawn very annoying. But as a plot device, where Dawn is the key, I find her very effective. Using the character to explore the theme of family and what true family is and what it means to be a family works very well, as well as sort of addressing bigger existential questions of existence in the process. Joss is really getting deep in season 5. I know the Dawn isn't really a GAC favorite, so this episode could go either way for you guys, but I'm hoping that you guys can separate the annoying character from a pretty good plot device. I feel like one of the overall themes of season 5 is family. We met Tara's family, we got Spike's backstory in Fool for Love, and how he became a family with Angel, Drew, and Darla. Mm-hmm. We have seen Buffy have to deal with having a sick family member. We have seen the Scoobies really become a family. Buffy even said as much to the Watchers Council last week. By last week, Ray means last month, but we forgive him for the inaccuracy of his chronology here. It's our fault. And we very much see more than ever Giles acting like a father figure to Buffy. So while I still find Dawn annoying as a character, I find this episode works very well. I think the scene where Buffy tells Dawn that they have the same summer's blood at the end is pretty touching. Sorry, but Ray made me think of that scene again. The show has done a great job of making me feel empathy for a character that I don't like. I think that shows how great the writers have handled the reveal of Dawn as the key. The Glory story also really ramps up this week as well. She has such a great mix of humor, crazy, and legitimately scary. And the reveal of Ben and Glory being the same person really shocked me the first time I saw it. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Ray.
Shocked Thank you, Ray. Me, that's for sure.
Thanks, Ray.
Heidi sent us an email.
Yes.
Hey, Gax and guests. It's time once again for another Buffy birthday. And you all know what that means. Cake. And yeah, also sadness and chaos. Did you see that huge pile of presents? Each of Buffy's friends must have brought at least two presents each. I'm glad the Scoobies know about Dom, but they are annoyingly awkward about it. Mm-hmm. Like I said in Checkpoint, it's a good thing they didn't know then. I love Don and Spike breaking into the magic box. They're great together. As much as you may not like Don, that scene with the knife was pretty powerful. It actually makes me tear up when I watch it. But then she gets annoying with the shrieking. I love the scene with Dawn and Glory and how Willow and Tara make Glory disappear. They should use that spell more often. Until next time, Heidi.
Keep it and have fun.
Got an email from Nikki Faith, who apologized for spoiling me. thank you very much for the apology. It really does mean a great deal. I know it was an accident. You are forgiven forever. And I will not spoil you on Game of Thrones. Except for this. Don't get attached to anyone.
Oh my gosh, I love I saw a meme on Facebook yesterday. It was George R. Martin standing behind who's the redheaded daughter? Crud. What's her name?
Sansa?
Sansa. And it said soon.
Oh, that was great. Go ahead, Lyria.
Bruce sends us an email. He says, I think Michelle Trachtenberg was 15 or 16 when this was filmed, and she did a good job with the episode. Love the Little Miss Drama pink t-shirt she's wearing early on.
Yes.
Has it only been 3 episodes since we got Riley's version of what love is? If you don't love me like I love you, then I'm leaving the country. Now we see that for Buffy, it doesn't matter how the other person feels about it. Buffy loves Dawn. Bruce, if only Dawn was a person. Is Spike an honorary Scooby now? Last episode, Buffy left him in charge of Dawn and Joyce as a last resort. This week, she doesn't hesitate to bring him in on the search. Well, I don't know, guys. I mean, I thought that was Buffy trying to make Spike clean up his own mess, though. Because she blamed him.
Yes.
But yeah. I think she secretly loves him.
Oh, I hope not.
I think it's inevitable.
If they bring those two together, I'm done.
Oh, really?
I'm done with
the
show.
I really hope they bring them together, because it's got to be the most obvious thing.
No, she won't, because the whole thing is Buffy and Angel. Okay, never mind. We got to do another podcast after this, guys.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
All right. I'm reading as fast as I can.
Angelo. Buffy and Angelo.
Yes. Angelo. Love the scolding Buffy tries to dish out about how Dawn learned the news and how Spike turns a back on Buffy. That's true. Especially the things which only show up in their expressions. When Buffy realizes that Spike is right, and then Spike realizes that he's hurt Buffy again.
Aww.
I'm glad Joyce is better, but her whatever it was a cool way to introduce doctors to fix Riley and surgeries to not remove Spike's chip and a psych ward to keep out Dawn in season 5 without seeming to come out of left field. That's true. Mm-hmm. And what's up with Ben? Why would Dawn cover for him? See, I don't know. I don't think she's covering for him. I think so. Dawn is traumatized or something. We have another voicemail. And then we might call it quits for tonight. We've been on for a while and we have more to record, so we might have to skip the Facebook feedback, but we'll see. Here's a voicemail from Paul Mackey.
Hey, Gex and guest. Say, who's guest this week? Gotta be better than the last time. Whew, guy was a stiff. It's Paul Mackey here in the freezer room. Well, let's kick it in. Huh? Oh. Well, let's kick it in, huh? A full episode of Ark Mythology, and who the hell needs a B-plot anyway? I love Spike in this episode. That vamp has seen a lot in his time, so the big reveal about Dawn's true nature only warrants a, I guess that's you, Niblet. I know, don't steal quotes, but I'm not too worried that that snippet will make your list when you've got Glory walking around. She's a quote machine in a slinky red dress and pretty badass. Well, nice ass, but no.
Such a guy.
I'll sign off now before I say anything truly regrettable. My first attempt at this call had a bit too much rum in it. My less spoiler-cautious friend said too much, so the only one to hear it was Steph. Thanks for nothing, Mr. Fabby. All right, guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you, Paul.
That's the greatest.
Fantastic. Let's see. Any more emails? Emails. No. We're done for the emails, right? If we missed anyone, sorry. Facebook feedback, we appreciate all of it. Thank you. Went a little long, so we're going to skip it this time, but don't let that stop you.
No, don't.
So, thanks for your feedback.
We babbled on too long.
I think it's time for us to rate the episode. What do you guys think?
Sure, let's do it.
Malika, go ahead, please.
All right. Well, I actually really enjoy this one. I thought that, I don't know, it actually, I normally can't stand Dawn, and I actually had a little bit of empathy for her, and I liked all the Glory goodness. So I'm going to rate it 8 out of 10, mind-sucking, body-switching, hell gods.
Gabby?
This had a lot of stuff that I don't care about. Like, oh, I don't know, Palmolive. And I had, I spent more time not saying I didn't feel bad for her at any point by finding out she wasn't a real girl, but I spent more time not giving a shit. And I watched it twice and I cared less and had a harder time focusing the second time that I watched. So, and again, Tara, all that business. But again, Willow's hair was awesome. And the fact that glitter saves the day is pretty cool. And it wasn't, and then there were some cute, you know, Palmolive Spike moments. Spike's charming. And we know something's coming romantically with him and Buffy because, come on, they're totally feeding it to us.
No,
so, yes, she they might, are.
She might slip for a second and be like, oh, what am I doing? And then that's it. I can't. If they hook up, I'm going to be just so devastated.
I think they've totally been building up to something. It seems obvious that they're spoon feeding us something. Anyway, it didn't totally suck, but it wasn't great, but it was really awesome. So I give this.
What happens if they hook up and then Spike's tip magically melts away and he becomes a real vampire again?
That'd be fucking awesome.
That would be great.
And then he eats her. Yes, over. Okay.
Finale.
Okay. And let's kill Tara.
Oh, no, best thing ever.
All right. So anyway, whatever rating, yes. I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 tiny little snapdragons.
Very nice.
Cute. Thank you.
Steph?
Okay. It's Buffy's birthday, plus one. It's not about Buffy, plus two. But it's about Dawn, minus one. But I can relate to 14-year-old girls because I was one and I have one in my home. But Spike and Dawn were adorable. Spike just, you know, looking out for Dawn. Oh, that's so cute. But it was a little weak. I mean, okay, the transportation spell, teleportation spell was really cool, but you know, like I said, the ending was a little weak, the joke was just a dud. I guess I give it, I mean, I mainly enjoyed it, 8 out of 10 teenage angsty outbursts.
Nice. Okay. I really like this episode. I thought it was really good. And I say that with Dawn and Joyce being two of my least favorite characters.
Mm.
And I thought that they both shone very well in this episode. And sorry, I think I'm echoing somewhere. But anyways, Or was that? Yeah, yeah. So I really enjoyed this episode. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10. Oh,
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. I thought it was really well done. And I thought that Dawn's, the scene with her cutting herself, again, as dramatic as it was, and just like, I thought it was done better than what it could have been. It could have been much more dramatic, and it could turn into like a after school special. Don't cut yourself, kids. You know what I mean? So I thought that it was pretty good. Okay, done.
Awesome. I thought this episode was a little painful to watch. Not so much because it's centered around the lovely Dawn, but mostly because there was a lot of overreaction that was just over the top. I mean, the knife thing just really, it made me laugh, to be honest, because I find that kind of thing funny. No, it's just the typical, my world is over, I'm going to cut myself thing. No, listen, let me tell you right now, you're not a real person. And everyone around you telling you that you're a real person, you're my real sister, maybe they shouldn't try to feed this delusion. Maybe we should actually try to figure out what the hell this thing is and how we can use it to stop the apocalypse. Okay? Maybe we should be a little bit more detached. I know, I'm a monster. But Dawn's not real. I felt like the first episode that Buffy realized Dawn wasn't real, we should have called up the initiative people and dissected her. Okay? I understand, you know, it's about family and what is family and can you have someone be in your family that wasn't there really and is, and we want to introduce a baby sister. I'm kind of disappointed because I think the more episodes I watch of this season, the more I think that Dawn is here to stay. And I'm really upset by that. I was really kind of hoping that she'd be like a quick in and out thing. And it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. Lots of cool stuff with Spike. Lots of interesting Glory not seeing the forest for the trees moments. Ben being Glory, had I not been spoiled on it, would have been an awesome reveal. I'm happy that it's actually just over with. So now I have that feeling like, you know, when Oz was finally revealed to everyone to be a werewolf and not just me knowing it. It's pretty awesome to be like, to be beyond that. I'm going to give this episode 6 out of 10 niblets.
Oh,
yeah, that's what we thought. You can let us know what you think. You can send us an email at
potentialcast@gmail.com.
Correct. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at potentialcast. You can go to potentialcast.com and you can check the show notes. We have links there for the previous seasons of our show because I believe iTunes only shows the last 24 or 25 episodes. If you're a new listener to the show, go back and listen to us when we were a lot more wide-eyed and bushy-tailed and naive and less jaded and cynical about the show. Go ahead, listen to the glory days. And listen to what others have to say by reading what they say at the Facebook group. And that's facebook.com/groups/potentialcast. If you're not on Facebook, well, then you're missing out. But not really, because you probably have a personal life that stays personal. I think it's quote time. Who wants to go first? How about guest? Guest! Malika!
Yes.
Go first.
That would be me. I never get to be the guest. Okay, so Buffy, how was school today? Dawn, the usual big square building filled with boredom and despair. Buffy, just how I remembered it.
Yeah, but they don't go to the same school, right?
They do. Hmm. Wouldn't they?
No, because it's destroyed.
Oh, that's right.
I thought you watched the show before. I'm sorry, I'm just being a jerk.
No, you...
Oh, when did you watch it, Melissa?
I watched it in 2006, and I kind of marathoned through Netflix, and then I've watched seasons 1 through 4 at least twice, and since then, and I haven't actually, this is the second time I'm watching with you guys. Oh, wow. Since I first watched it, so it's kind of exciting.
Cool. Okay. Next.
Hey, careful, these are wet.
Mm. I kind of want to hear me talking right now. I love Glory.
So what's your quote, Gabby?
Perfect. That's perfect.
Kim?
He's not my boyfriend!
Let's see. Which one is my favorite? This one, of course. You make a very pretty little girl. Oh, Anya.
Any, you have been using the urn of Ishtar as an ashtray.
Ishtar. Anyone else?
What, a backup?
Yeah, anyone?
I like this
I
one.
I have one.
Go for it.
You go.
She's not just a blob of energy. She's also a 14-year-old hormone blob, which is screwing with her more right now. Spin the bloody wheel.
It's just so lovely. I wish you were mine. I love Anya too. I know Kim thinks she's selfish and ridiculous.
Jeez.
And has no
air
lurk
money. Much? I'm not lurking. I'm standing about. It's a whole different vibe. Stalker.
But with chocolate.
Yeah.
Stalker with chocolate. That makes it all better.
It makes it French.
If Sting had chocolate, it'd be a whole different song.
But instead he has blancmange. And nobody wants blancmange. All right.
Blancmange?
Yeah. Malika. Thank you for joining us. We truly appreciate it. We especially appreciate it because, you know, we dicked you around with last week and the week before and all that stuff. So thank you for your patience.
She's going to come to my house and beat me up. She knows where I live.
I know where you live. I'll bring chocolate, though. Don't worry, Gabby.
Yay.
Oh, well, then that's okay. I'll let you in.
Candy Graham. Where can we hear more of you?
You can find me at on Investigating Mars. It's a podcast at Quadruple Z Investigating Mars. And and I'm on the Facebook group too.
Awesome. So that's an astronomy podcast, is it? Nerd.
Yes. And we also discuss Veronica Mars.
Awesome. Very cool. Steph, what's on the plate for next time? What I really mean is, what am I going to watch when I go upstairs?
Before you go to bed tonight, you can watch Crush.
Okay.
Do you mean the wrestler from the 90s?
No.
Major crickets. I haven't used that sound effect in ages. I'm glad. I'm very happy this happened. I mean it. I'm not at all embarrassed and humiliated. Thank you, ladies.
You're welcome.
On that bombshell, goodbye!
Goodbye!
Namaste, y'all.
Beautiful.
What I thought was funny, and I told all my family and friends this, Gabby, is that we had to go to a North African deli to get bubble tea.
Well, that just happened to be one of the places where you could get bubble tea.
Okay. I thought it was maybe like the only place.
And what? No.
Bubble tea?
It's the most amazing thing ever.
It's tea with tapioca balls.
It's tea with tapioca, and it's disgusting.
It's basically, or the way I like it, juice with tapioca.
I finished my cherries. All right, time to get serious. I'm going to call our guest.
Okay.
The first time I had bubble tea, Stephanie, I nearly vomited because I wasn't expecting tapioca balls at the bottom of
sometimes.
Balls. Balls almost made Kim vomit. Balls in Kim's mouth almost made her vomit. I'm done.
Sometimes they're jelly balls.
Yeah.
There's boba, which are fucking awesome.
The pace. Look for what.